The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
We're going to turn to the Bible, and be helpful if you have the Bible open in front of you, just to remind you what it is. I think this will work. Let's just see. There we go. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. That's what we're going to focus in on this morning, just for a few minutes. So if you have that open in front of you, that would be really helpful as we look at Scripture together. What a year it has been. And this time last year, when we were celebrating Christmas, I don't think any of us really could have anticipated what was going to happen this year. And today in particular, maybe it's quite painful for some of us, if not all of us, in one way or another. Hopefully you'll be in contact with someone that you love, or someone that you love will be in contact with you. Let's try and look after each other as best we can through these days. But I thought, you know, today is a day of hope. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's a celebration's an interesting word, isn't it? But we do try to celebrate today because God has moved into our neighbourhood, and God has shown his love by giving his son. So I thought we would think about that a little bit by just focusing really on one aspect of the Christmas story. And it's this business of the manger. It's an extraordinary thing. Jesus was born in a manger. And some myth has accrued to the story of Jesus' birth about being born in a stable and going to an inn. And it looks like there wasn't an inn. I think the word that was used to describe inn is really a guest room in someone's house. The guest room was already taken, so Jesus was born in that area of the house that the family would have lived in, that the animals would have been brought into at night, and there would have been a feeding trough there, and Jesus, when he was born, was laid in the feeding trough, what we now describe as a manger. And it's an extraordinary thought. And I want us to dwell on that for a few minutes this morning. Jesus was born in a manger. What does that mean? What could that possibly point to when the Bible tells us that he was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger? Well, the first thing is this. Jesus was born into a mess, into a messy place, into a place that wasn't particularly clean, that was not perfect in any way. Jesus came into the messiness of this world and dwelt in it. And I find great comfort in that this Christmas. Jesus knows exactly what we're going through, the mess that the world is in right now. There was much rejoicing in Westminster and Downing Street yesterday that they finally managed to get a deal over Brexit. But that still looks like it's going to be some kind of mess when the time comes for it to be implemented. And there's mess in all sorts of ways. The whole COVID virus thing has introduced all sorts of mess into our lives personally and corporately. It's messed up how we do church, even. We have not been able to do church as we would normally do it. We're under all sorts of restrictions. Even travelling today to go down to Belhaven Beach, there was the sign above the city bypass saying restricted travel. We're living in a place of restriction. What a mess we find ourselves. But Jesus moved into the neighbourhood, and Jesus arrived into a place of mess. It was dirty. Second thing that we might realise is that that was planned. Jesus wasn't coming into the world to come into a palace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. But he wasn't born in a palace. And God, the Father, planned it that way. The prophets 600-700 years before predicted his coming in just this particular way. It was planned. God knows what the world needs and how he's going to achieve his purposes. So Jesus being born in a manger, being born in that messiness, is part of God's plan. It wasn't that there was no room. It wasn't that there was no place to lay the baby. This was the place that the baby had to be laid. It's extraordinary to think about it. So it was dirty, it was messy, it was planned. It was also a sign a bit later on in Luke chapter 2. There's this beautiful picture that where the angels talk to the shepherds and remind them that this would be a sign to them. This would be a sign to them. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The wrapped in cloths, well, that wasn't that unusual. Every baby would be wrapped in cloths. Every baby that was born in Bethlehem would be wrapped in cloths. But the unusual thing would be to find a baby lying in a bed of straw in a manger. That was a sign. This was an indicator that this was the Messiah. The manger was a significant sign. It was also glorious. What did the angel say to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth on whom his favour rests. So this was how God showed his glory, not in great signs, but in simple signs. God's glory. One of the things we've learned this year is to take joy. I hope we've learned this anyway, to take joy in the smallest things that we come across, the things that maybe we take for granted. For us this morning, seeing the sun coming up through the clouds, it was like majestic. It was glorious. Seeing something of God's glory, attributing God's glory to his creation. But this is glorious. Where do we see glory? Where do we see the glory of God? We see it, Jesus being born in the messiness, the planned messiness of the manger. So this is a glorious thing. Where are you looking for glory? Look for it around us in everything, but look for it in the simple things. That's how God comes into the world. Jesus comes into the world and is glorious in that place of humility. It was also a sign of what discipleship was going to look like. Jesus started off in this place of humility and lowliness. He gave up the glories of heaven. Philippians chapter 2 says this, though he was in the form of God, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He started his life lower than servants. Where did he start his life? In a feeding trough. That's a sign for us, how we live our lives. We should not think more highly of ourselves. We should place ourselves in that lowly place that Jesus started in. And this Christmas, as we gather virtually, or maybe we've got a few people that we'll see today, may we remember to be humble like Jesus. Last thing. This is a six-point sermon on Christmas Day. It's extraordinary that I'm able to do this. The last thing is this. Jesus started low. He started low. He came into the world in that lowly place and he went lower. He went lower. He started low and he went lower. You know, there's that carol that says the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. Well, lowing is a noise, but in our case, in this case, it's a good way to describe Jesus. He lows. He starts low in the manger and he goes lower. What do I mean by that? Well, he goes lower because ultimately he dies. He comes into the world, lives a human life, goes through a human life, was like us in every way and yet was without sin. But he goes lower because he dies an ignominious death, a horrible death, a humiliating death on the cross. And it's a paradox, if you like, about Christmas, that we have this great joy. Do you remember what the angel says? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And this isn't a moderate joy. It's not a restrained joy. It's a great joy. Glory to God in the highest. And we rejoice today as we think of Jesus, who started low and went lower for our sake, to make it possible for us to know God, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to know God and to walk with him every day. So today my prayer for you and for myself is that the Lord will help me walk with him, to rejoice in all that he's done for us and to enjoy all that he has for us. My prayer for you and for us in our home is that we will know God's peace and God's help and God's strength as we face today and the days that are to come. Amen. Let's take a moment. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a final carol if we're able to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement it brings to us. Thank you that Jesus came into the world and started low and went lower. But now he reigns with you in your glory. And we thank you that we get to participate in that. Help us to rejoice, to give thanks for your goodness today, and to remember that in our messiness, in the midst of our sin and our messiness, Jesus comes to redeem us, to give us new life, to help us start again, help us to receive again the gospel message. And we remember those who are struggling today. We give you thanks for so many good things. We thank you for the agreement that seemed to be reached yesterday over Brexit. We pray for those who are suffering from COVID-19 today, those who are treating them, who are working hard to help those who are in need. We pray for healing and recovery. We give you thanks for our friends in St. Thomas's who've recovered from illness recently. We pray for those who are still sick, those who are struggling with loneliness today. Would you comfort? Would you help? If we can help one another, help us to do that today. Help us to be lowly as Jesus is lowly, and may we see your glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.